and welcome to another edition of My GRCC Story. I'm Dave Murray.
I'm Kaylee Potgetter.
And today we have a very special guest, Jamelia Hardley from the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion here at Grand Rapids Community College. Jamelia is the assistant director there, and we're going to talk today about some of the fantastic programs that that office creates for our campus and how it serves students. And Jamelia has a really cool story, and we're curious how her path led to Grand Rapids Community College. So Jamelia, what's your GRCC story? How did you come here?
Well, thank you both for having me on this podcast. Excited to be here for sure. My GRCC story started a year and 4 months ago, to be exact. I was looking for the next step to advance my career. Knew that I wanted to work with students, knew that I wanted to continue the work that I've been doing. Originally came from Grand Valley State University, working in housing and residence life. Was doing that for the last 8 or 9 years, and I wanted to learn something new, challenge myself. So a colleague of mine sent me the job description, and I read through it, seen some very key components of the responsibilities that really spoke to the work that I was doing in higher education, and I definitely put my resume in and was able to land the job. So very happy about that. In terms of GRCC related, just a little bit of background, I was a volunteer coach for the women's basketball team here in 2013. My father played for the football team. I think they were known as the JC Raiders back in the day. I asked him for the date, but he couldn't remember. But it was a long, long time ago before I was a thought. But just some history from family-wise, why GRCC has always been there.
So you're from Grand Rapids?
Indeed.
And where did you go to high school?
I went to Grand Rapids Christian High School. Graduated in 2008.
And did you play basketball while you were there?
I did, in fact, play basketball for all 4 years and also run in track and through shot put.
And then how did you go to the University of Michigan Wolverines? Tell us that story.
Yes. So interesting, actually. After playing 4 years of basketball, also playing travel basketball, you spending lots of time traveling different tournaments, I was able to be recruited at first by Grand Valley's head coach, which was Dawn Plitzer-White. And while she was a head coach, at some point there was some transition from GVSU to University of Michigan. And that also helped me to transfer with her as a recruit or from a recruiting standpoint. So that was like the starting point of our relationship. Me, you know, walking into the doors of being able to earn a full ride or a full academic scholarship to play 4 years, in which I did, graduating with a sociology degree, as well as a 4-year varsity winner basketball player. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What is it like to play for a program as prestigious as the University of Michigan, but also in that setting with those big crowds watching your every move?
Absolutely. So I would say that playing in the Big Ten Conference, you're learning every single day, both on the court, off the court. You know, it's a really commitment and a dedication, and you have to really be all in. It taught me time management. It taught me to be on a routine, and it taught me family. So moving away from home, it was my first time. It was very helpful that they really had a lot of resources set up for us meaning student athletes, and being able to essentially kind of come in and open the doors, embrace us as athletes, and help us to leverage our skills in a way that a lot of folks don't get to experience. So being on that big stage, they taught us how to the Block M. And that was, I'll never forget that those conversations around, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than you as just an individual player. You're getting a remarkable education for free. And what does that mean? So a lot of it was basketball. A lot of it was doing the work, the workouts tirelessly, lots of blood, sweat, and tears, literally for hours and hours and day in. But also it taught me that representation piece of it being more than just me, more than just basketball.
And are you on the court, are you conscious of the stands being full and people cheering and yelling?
That's a good question. I've actually never really paid a lot of attention to like large crowds. I think just getting used to it in high school, we always had really big games, and then kind of transitioning from travel ball, AU ball, into, you know, the big stage of the Big Ten Conference and being on TV was not, that was something that I think I easily kind of just naturally transitioned to. So
while you were in college, did you know that you wanted to study higher education?
In a way. At first, I wanted to pursue my college career around being an athletic trainer. But because I was an athlete, it was a little hard to do like the hands-on portion of the athletic training program. So then that transitioned to sports management, and then wasn't really feeling that either. So I ultimately landed in the sociology realm. But then it was my advisors and my learning coordinator that actually helped me to start finding that passion for students and connecting with them to help them in whatever way, shape, form they needed, whether it was academic or personal. I had some really good support system that kind of helped me start that passion for higher education. And I knew that once I graduated, if I wasn't playing professionally, that I wanted to do something in the realm of either teaching or developing students outside of the classroom.
You were a first-generation college student?
That is correct.
What was that like? I bet your folks are so proud of you.
They are. They make it very known. If you see my dad, it's something Michigan on him. And if you read my mom's Facebook post, it's something Michigan related as well. So I think I really try to, represent our family in a way that they could be proud in essentially every move that I make, including going to Michigan. And what that meant for me, though, with being first generation, was that I had to figure it out on my own. And I had to bump my head a few times. I had to learn from my mistakes. I had to hear rejection and a few no's to really kind of learn and shape myself as a student, as a professional. And even personally, being first generation meant that I had to have it together while learning when I didn't have it together, if that makes sense. And then also being very headstrong and structured in a lot of the responsibilities of, now that you're in college, you're expected to know everything or be able to figure everything out technology wise, answer all these questions, and just be really like the support backbone of the family. So those are the roles that I've taken on and kind of embraced and also put on me with being a first generation college student.
So cool.
Yeah. How has that helped you in your professional career, in your role now?
Absolutely. So I think that in speaking to hearing the rejection and the no's, it allowed me to turn it up a notch, if I can use that as a term, in a way of not giving up on myself, facing challenging times, adversity, and learning to not take those rejections or take those no's or learn from them or ask questions. I can't say how important it is to ask questions and to seek out those mentors that will kind of put you under their wing and kind of guide you to kind of help in the areas that are needed to be helped in. You know, I'll show up raw and authentic and as transparent as they come, but then having those leaders and kind of show me the way of mentorship, guide me, that has helped me quite a bit to land me in the seat today. I've had some really strong mentors in my life that valued me as a person, challenged me, knew when I needed to use my voice, taught me how to be a leader, taught me how to supervise, advise, you know, and how to seek out those skills that I needed to kind of develop as a professional. Because fun fact, when I graduated from college, I never had a job. I never worked. I didn't have a resume besides the one that was assigned to us in class, and there was nothing on it. So I had to really work really hard and use my time wisely graduating from college because I had zero experience outside of being an athlete. So
in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, you must work with a lot of students who also are first-generation students.
So that is correct, yes.
Do you see yourself in them, and then how do you work with them to help them knowing what you know about your life journey?
Yeah, so I think that actually helps me to naturally develop relationships with students, which is the part that I love. In the role that I currently have, I have sat across the table from many different folks and wide ranges, right? Races, cultures, backgrounds, the list goes on. And I've been able to identify some sort of aspect or trait or characteristic that I've seen in myself in these students that I'm working with. And I think once I am able to just kind of naturally learn and listen and then identify some of those characteristics that we have in same, even though we may not look the same, you know, a lot of the stories and the incidents and the situations that college students are going through that I'm working with, I've done it. I'm a walking testimony. And I think allowing that kind of transparency when I am working with students, allow them to feel comfortable and share. And they come in and they see me walk in on campus and they're, you know, very eager to share the next thing or what's going on in their world. And I embrace it all. And I welcome it all. And I think listening, because I'm naturally a shy person, but I think that has helped me really succeed in student relationships that I've developed so far.
So for the folks who might not know, what is the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion? What are the kinds of things that you guys do here at GRCC?
Absolutely. So I think the fun part about working in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion is that you pretty much have a wide range of things that you could really offer GRCC as well as the Grand Rapids community. Of course, we have the support realm where we're supporting students. We're offering resources in terms of personal, financial, you know, even things to like food and housing, security and things like that, as well as, you know, tackling, you know, a lot of the developmental part of it. So, you know, having conversations where students might not necessarily have them in the classroom or setting and creating those spaces where students can kind of come in and share about different current topics that may be happening in our world, things that they're very passionate about, especially in terms of interculturalism, diversity, injustices, you know, the list kind of goes on because it's such a wide range of topics that could be talked about. And we also do trainings as well from faculty, staff, and student. My role specifically hits on student programming and a lot of the student facing support and liaison between whether they have an issue with a faculty member or a staff member. It really kind of just ranges on any type of support that a student may need when they're walking to the office. Then we have a lot of our large scale programs where we have a lot of different speakers come in and tackle a lot of information where you can learn from, ranging from wide topics, you know, under the diversity spectrum. And then just being able to be a present, being able to offer support. Speakers come in and share their stories, share the things that they've ultimately made an impact on the world, and have them kind of come and be able to interact and interface with our students also says a lot. So yeah, our office is a wide range of different things. And I think that's the unique part of which I embrace it, because every day is very different for me. And I think I've learned that from a housing and residence standpoint, and I'm able to translate that in the work that I do every day.
So, Jamelia, we're talking about all these events that are coming up, all these programs that you guys have at the office. So this month, focusing on Black History Month and events surrounding that, what makes Black History Month so important?
That is a really great question. And it really can be individualistic in your approach of understanding what Black History Month is and what it means to from person to person. And for me personally, you know, there is the aspect of, you know, what we learn in a textbook, it can be beyond that. And we can have conversations around different cultures and identify just the African American contributions to the world. And we get to expand upon that, whether that's music, whether that's food, whether that's clothing, fashion, whether that's, you know, modern arts and things like that. Like, there's so many different things that we don't talk about in school, or especially growing up, that we have the opportunity to have those conversations and learn. You know, the key component of it is that continuation of learning and being able to find beauty in diversity. It promotes diversity. It elevates it in a way where, you know, we have so many you know, traumatic and sad situations happening. And it gives us time to reflect on those moments as well and highlight, you know, the people that we've lost along the way in that historical context of a lot of ancestors have paved the way for us to be able to sit and have this conversation in this room. So it highlights that learning aspect as well. And I think that's important for myself and as well as others to put yourself in a situation where there's always something sad or traumatic or life impacting that we can learn from, that we can celebrate, and we can find that beauty and diversity. So those are the things that I think highlight the beauty behind why Black History Month is so important.
That's awesome. And you guys have a fantastic slate of events coming up this month. What are some of the activities that people can take advantage of?
Absolutely. So we wanted to really give GRCC a wide range of opportunities to get involved and really kind of just have different time frames, different components or platforms in which they're offered to try to, you know, meet the needs of our community. So one of our keynotes this happening this Thursday will be Jazz McKinney, and they will come in and talk about their identities and how they intersect in shaping who they are as a person, share some of those highs and lows of those intersecting identities, but then also find different ways to learn more, engage, and kind of lean in into the, and I think Jazz will highlight a lot of resources that folks may not be aware of as well to that learning aspect or that learning component of being Afro, being Indigenous, being queer, and what that looks like and defining those terms in their own words and how that relates to people who may not necessarily identify in the same way, but still able to learn and engage and support.
Standing.
Another platform that we are looking to engage in is we have three panel discussions lined up. We'll be having a Black History Month highlighting our very own. So we have a lot of amazing people who do a lot of amazing work here on this campus. So we wanted to bring it back home and give folks a chance to highlight who they are, tell a little bit about their story, and answer some really pointed questions around our current climate and self-care and finding balance. So we'll have one around Black women and, you know, the toolkits and of survival in terms of what is it that they rely on, how do they, you know, keep themselves grounded in the work that they do, especially when it comes to students. We'll have one around the Black male narrative and kind of highlighting some key components of what we're seeing in the world around us and how it's impacting some of our very own Black identifying males on campus, and what are they doing to stay strong, advising, and being impactful in the community that in which we're served, especially GRCC. And then, of course, last but not least, we'll wrap up the last discussion with our Black student panel. And this really is a chance for students to come together, embrace one another and their experiences, highlight the unique challenges and highs and lows that comes with the identities of being a Black student, and then also what advice and what support they have received to aid in their leadership, to aid in their success in the classroom, as well as just personally. And it's creating a space where folks can learn, folks can have a seat at a table that they may not necessarily have had in the past, because it may just be just student for them, or it may just be this student organization for me, but actually, you know, giving them the chance to voice their true authentic selves in a space where they may not necessarily have had.
So it sounds like there are learning opportunities, there are celebratory opportunities. Mm-hmm. And maybe even sometimes we'll be challenged to think a little differently or see things from a different perspective.
Absolutely. And then the fun one, which I'm excited about, is our silent disco. I hear all the time, what is a silent disco? What does that mean? What does that look like? So I get a chance to, one, invite them and encourage them to join, but bring something that seems to be new for the campus. So it's literally like a party, you know. It's a space to disconnect. It's a space to not be stressed out in, or we're worried about the next class or getting to the next meeting. It'll literally be a chance to listen to some music, engage it with some good food, different activities as far as coloring, really those like stress reliever type of activities. We'll be having games and just interacting with each other, being in each other's space and learning and being able to just listen to some good music. So
does everyone listen to the same music with headphones
on?
Yeah,
so that is the silent disco component of it, is that there will be three different channels, and they'll be designated to three different waves of three different songs essentially playing at the same time, and you could switch between, I think the typical colors are red, blue, and green. So depending on what color station you're on, depends on what music you choose to listen to. So there's some autonomy in what you want to listen to at that time.
So I can listen to my 80s music.
You know, Dave, I'm not sure if we'll have 80s, but I'll put in a request for you for sure.
Thank you very much.
Of course, of course.
Very cool. So we've got a lot coming up with Black History Month going on. We know you're also working on a Salute to Women's event. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
That I am. So yes, in terms of the programming realm, even though I do share a lot of the student aspects of my responsibilities, this one I really care about, and I'm glad to be chairing, because this gives us a chance to take a step back and honor the amazing work that folks are doing around gender equality and women advocacy and women empowerment. And what does that look like in terms of community service, leadership, just being connected with students and advocating for students just in general. So Salute to Women embodies all of those things. Salute to Women gives GRCC a chance, our office a chance, to take a pause and recognize and celebrate. And I don't think we do enough of that when we're doing the hard work day in and day out. So we get a chance to throw a party, have a chance to honor some of our very own individuals who are walking this campus, celebrating them, nominating them in a way to honor those very things that they're doing, because they embrace that. So we're still accepting nominations. Nomination deadline is the 17th, although I'm pretty lenient on that. But yes, we are definitely encouraging folks to look around and those people who are doing the work day in and day out and celebrate them and honor them and highlight them as individuals who embody what it means to empower and uplift, especially when it comes to gender equality and women advocacy. So,
and so there will be an award or salute for a student?
Yep.
A faculty member?
No, current faculty member, yep. Alumnus, so alumni student. And you said faculty, let me see which one you're missing.
Is it someone in the community?
Yes, community, past employee. That is correct.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So we are having lots of conversations this month. When is the Salute to Women event?
Yes. So the Salute to Women event will be March 29th.
Okay.
It'll be from noon to 1 in Sneeden Hall. Room 108, which I believe is the multi-purpose room. We'll have some great food. We'll have some entertainment. We'll have decorations and balloons galore. And it really is something I mentioned that is near and dear to me, because it's a chance to create a space where folks can have an experience around just being celebrated. We're honoring Women's History Month, obviously, and we want to encourage folks to do the same within this space. So, yeah.
This has been really neat. If someone wants to learn more about ODEI and the work that you do, or participate in one of your activities, mm-hmm. or just kind of, you know, stop in and say hi and say, hey, I just want to connect with you folks. How do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the above, I encourage visiting our website, which can be found grcc/ODEI, I believe. Definitely recommend coming in and stopping by just to say hello, introducing yourself. That is what I encourage and love the most anyway. So just stopping by, asking questions, seeing what's going on. We may have a snack or two to give you as well. But yes, all of our information and all the programs and the resources and things that we're doing within the office definitely can be found on our ODEI webpage, as well as we'd be happy to have a conversation with you as well in person.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, late last year, you had a very special event where you brought high school students and middle school students.
Middle school students, yes.
Here to GRCC, mm-hmm. and the students got to learn about how to play basketball from members of the Grand Rapids Gold professional basketball team.
Yep.
A travel team, right? The Elite Stars?
Yeah, the West Michigan Elite Stars, which is the semi-pro team that I may be participating on.
Amazing.
And GRCC's men's and women's basketball team.
That is correct.
I saw you interacting with the students that day. I thought, wow, she's really good at this. Do you like coaching? Do you want to be a coach sometime?
Or? That is a great question. So coaching, I'm typically more on the officiating side of things, but since having a recent injury with my knee, I actually have picked up coaching. I naturally gravitate to youth. I think it starts with our youth and with them interacting with different folks and having different experiences that they may not necessarily have access to up front. This was a great opportunity for me to bring GRPS students on campus, allow them to interact. People in the community who are playing basketball, amazing leaders, have stories, and they get a chance to do something that they enjoy. It was a lot of fun. I had a ton of fun just learning about the different students who came to participate and telling me how excited they were to make a shot or get around a cone. And I even had some really excited about doing the defensive drill, which was pretty intense, actually. I really thrived in that space of just being around students, being around our athletes and watching them interact with the students and just seeing how much fun that they were having engaging in the camp that we had brought to campus last semester. So hoping to do that again real soon, especially in the summertime. So that is something that I'm very passionate about. And I think it takes no amount of money, no sort of effort for me to be able to step into that position to grant that access and allow students to be able to come to our campus and see what we're doing. So,
outstanding. Mm-hmm. Well, Jamelia, thank you so much for sharing your GRCC story today. This has been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, it has been fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I had a good time talking with you both today.
And if someone wants to learn more or RSVP for some of the upcoming events that you heard about today, you go to grcc.edu/ODEI. Or if you want to join our exciting activities here at GRCC as a student, you go to grcc.edu, apply, and start your own GRCC story.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm Dave Murray.
I'm Kaylee Potgetter.
And I'm Jamelia Hardley.
And thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next time.
My GRCC story is hosted by Dave Murray and Kaylee Potgetter of Grand Rapids Community College and recorded by the IT Media Technologies Department with editing by Connor Bardalis. Visit grcc.tv for more.